On what station can you hear talk shows, country music, Gaelic music, oldies, funk, and more? Why, it's the University of Central Missouri's The Beat, the best in college radio.
Ooh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. I am so excited for this. You know, the opening day is over officially. On today's show, I'll first start off by telling you about what happened through the first week of the season, which includes a lot of crazy endings and games, of course. Plus, they do power rankings once again and make predictions for this week and much, much more. That's all coming up on UCN The Beat. And let's talk about opening day. This was a very exciting day for most teams, but unfortunately for the Royals, it was not very exciting as they got shut out by the Minnesota Twins 2-0. The Twins had 2 runs on 10 hits, while the Royals had no runs on 2 hits and 1 error. That one error came against Joey Gallo when MJ Melendez, you know, he came in for a ball, charged it, and he couldn't handle it. They were going to throw him out at first, but unfortunately Melendez couldn't get the handle on it, and chaos ensued after that. The Braves absolutely destroyed the Nationals 7-2. The Braves had 12 hits in that game, but the thing that killed the Nationals was, of course, their 3 errors that they made in that game. When you make errors as a team, it just diminishes your psyche, I guess you could say. It didn't really help that much, to be honest with you. Moving on to the Yankees and the Giants. The Giants got shut out 5-0 against the Yankees. Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres hit home runs for the Yankees in this game. They had 8 hits compared to the Yankees 4. Excuse me, Giants 4. The Orioles won a slugfest against the mighty Red Sox 10-9. Adley Rutschman reached base 6 times in this game and turned in a 5-hit performance. The Orioles had 15 hits and 2 errors. The Red Sox had 11 hits and 1 error. The Red Sox pitching is really what let them down in this game. When you allow 10 runs to the Orioles, I mean, 9 times out of 10, that's not going to go well for you. The Cubs got shut out. The Cubs shut out the Brewers 4-0. Corbin Burnes allowed 4 runs in the 3rd inning. The Cubs got 4 runs on 6 hits, while the Brewers got 4 hits, but they unfortunately could not get the offense going. When you can't get the offense going in a game and you cannot put pressure on that pitcher, it just puts so much pressure on that offense that, you know, they can't really do anything else. The Rays beat the Tigers 4-0. Jose Siri and Wander Franco hit home runs for the Rays in this game. Each team had 6 hits, but the Tigers couldn't get anything going, unfortunately. And as I said earlier, actually, I said this during the last game, when you can't get the offense going, it puts a lot of pressure on the pitcher to go out there and execute. The Rangers beat the Phillies in a shocker, 11-7. They scored 9 runs in the 4th inning, and that proved to be enough. Even though the Phillies out-hit the Rangers, they still lost. No pitcher in that game could get past the 4th inning. Jacob DeGrom went 3 2/3, as did Aaron Nola for the Philadelphia Phillies. The Pirates beat the Reds 5-4. The Reds out-hit the Pirates 8-6, but they just couldn't get anything going after the 5th inning. The Pirates pitching just completely shut them down after the 5th inning. Offense gets shut down by the Pirates, you know you suck. But I'm pretty sure they'll come back in the next game. The Blue Jays outlasted the Cardinals 10-9. It was a complete slugfest. And get this, guys. There was a combined 34 hits in that game alone. I mean, 34 hits, you know. It was a good game. I watched part of it, and I was impressed with the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are a good team, you know. They're one of those teams that they hit for power and then they strike out a lot. The White Sox beat the Astros 3-2. Yordan Alvarez had a home run in that game to nobody's surprise, but it came in the 9th inning, 1 inning too late, as the Astros just couldn't get anything going with the bats against Dylan Cease, who had 10 strikeouts in 6 1/3 innings. Dylan Cease, I think he has the capability to win AL Cy Young this year. I know I'm going to change my prediction pretty much every week with Cy Young, but this week I think it's going to be Dylan Cease for sure. The Mets beat the Marlins 5-3. Max Scherzer got the win in this game. He allowed 3 runs in the 6th inning, and that was it for the Marlins. The Rockies somehow beat the Padres 7-2. Padres, I'm embarrassed for you in this game, to be honest. You were supposed to be a good team. You have Juan Soto, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts, Trent Grisham. I mean, those 1-5 are a stacked lineup. And you could only score 2 runs? Are you kidding me? The Athletics beat the Angels 2-1. We'll talk about what happened with Anthony Rendon in that game in just a little bit. The Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 8-2. That's nobody's surprise there, to be honest. The Diamondbacks, they're still horrible. The Mariners beat the Guardians 3-0. Those 3 runs came in the bottom of the 8th, courtesy of a Ty France 3-run homer. Let's move on to the Friday games. And for this game, guys, I'm not going to give you the scores. You can look at the scores on your own if you want to, or don't. It doesn't matter to me. The Marlins beat the Mets. The Astros beat the White Sox. The Rockies once again beat the Padres. The Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers. And finally, the Guardians beat the Mariners. All the teams bounced back except for the Padres, who unfortunately lost to the Rockies. But all the other teams bounced back from their loss on Thursday. On Saturday, it was another interesting one. The Twins once again beat the Royals. They shut them out again. Not going to give the score, like I said. The Astros beat the White Sox for the second straight day. The Cardinals beat the Blue Jays to get their first win of the season. The Brewers beat the Cubs to get their first win as well. And, fellas, the Rangers clobbered the Phillies. I'll give you the score for this one because it was very interesting. The score of this game was 16-3. How in the world did the Phillies, who had a pretty good starting rotation and bullpen last year, how do you allow 16 runs to the Texas Rangers? That's pathetic. The Braves beat the Nationals for the second straight game. The Nationals are going to suck this year. That's all there is to it. The Giants beat the Yankees. It was a close game. The Yankees loaded the bases with one out in the bottom of the 9th, and Giancarlo Stanton hit into a double play, and that's a momentum killer, to be honest with you. Anytime you have the bases loaded with one out, you have to capitalize every single time. And if you don't, 9 times out of 10, you're going to lose. The Angels absolutely destroyed the Athletics. The Red Sox walked off against the Orioles. The Orioles had a 8-7 lead going into the bottom of the 9th, and Adam Duvall decided to ruin that with a 2-run homer over the Green Monster. For those of you who do not know, the Green Monster is one of the highest walls in the MLB. It's pretty hard to hit it up there, but he got it up there, and chaos ensued afterwards. The Reds beat the Pirates 6-2. How in the world did the Pirates lose to the Cincinnati Reds? That's embarrassing. The Mets beat the Marlins. The Padres finally got on the board with a win. The Dodgers absolutely killed the Diamondbacks. And the Guardians beat the Mariners for the second straight game to improve to 2-1 on the season. The Twins once again beat the Royals on Sunday, and this one was a closer game, I gotta be honest. I watched part of this game, but the Royals just couldn't get anything going. They could not get any timely hits. The Rays also got a sweep against the Tigers. The Red Sox beat the Orioles and won the series. The Nationals beat the Braves to avoid getting swept. How did the Nationals beat the Braves, you might wonder? Well, the Braves' pitching was not exactly good on that day, and pitching has to be good on every single day in order for you to win the MLB. Moving on, the Yankees got back to their winning ways against the Giants to secure the series win. The Reds also somehow beat the Pirates again and got the series win. The Mets beat the Marlins to win the series. The White Sox split the series with the Astros, winning 6-3. The Cardinals secured the series against the Blue Jays. The Brewers, after dropping the first game, go back to their winning ways by winning the series against the Chicago Cubbies. Next up, the Angels secured the series win against the Athletics. The Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers to split the series. The Padres beat the Rockies to split the series. There's a lot of split series in this game, in this weekend, to be honest with you. The Padres beat the Rockies to split the series. I probably already said that. The Guardians beat the Mariners to win the series. And the Rangers earned the sweep against the Phillies by winning 3-0. Excuse me, 2-1. 2-1 was the final score of that game, and it was a pretty good game. I watched part of it, like I said, and I was very impressed with them. Their pitching is very good. Moving on to the Monday games, and this was the first game of the week. The Royals got their first win of the season over the mighty Blue Jays 9-5. We'll talk about that game in just a little bit when I get down to the Royals segment. The Brewers destroyed the Mets 10-0 in their home opener. The Giants spoiled the White Sox home opener 12-3. And they hit 7 home runs in that game, including 4 in the third inning. I mean, that's unheard of, especially in today's game. The Reds beat the Cubs 7-6 to improve to 3-1 on the season. The Twins destroyed the Marlins 11-1. The Rays beat the Nationals 6-2. The Yankees beat the defending NL champs 8-1. The Phillies are 0-4, guys. 0-4. Without Bryce Harper and Rhys Hoskins, I think this is going to be a very long season until those two guys can come back and produce in this lineup. The Pirates upset the Red Sox 7-6. And we had a first Major League home run in this game, courtesy of the Japanese player who is now on the Boston Red Sox, like I said earlier. I'll get to him in just a little bit. The Braves beat the Cardinals 8-4. The Tigers beat the defending World Series champions 7-6 in extra innings. The Guardians won a slugfest against the Athletics of all teams, 12-11 in extra innings. We had like 3 extra inning games this week. And yes, for those of you wondering, there are still, I don't know why there are still runners on second with nobody out to begin the inning. It's so stupid, in my opinion, but hey, I'm not the commissioner. The Padres beat the Diamondbacks 5-4. They walked it off with a home run. The Angels beat the Mariners 7-3 with Shohei Ohtani hitting a 2-run homer in that game. And the Dodgers absolutely clapped the Rockies 13-4. Now it's time for some injury updates in the MLB. Daniel Lynch has played catch, and he has begun to his buildup, which is good for the Royals. Madison Bumgarner complained of arm fatigue following his first start and went back to Phoenix to be evaluated by team doctors. He had an MRI and it showed no structural issues. He's probably tired from trying to carry the whole team on his back. Either that or he's been in the league for too long and needs to hang up the glove and cleats. I'd prefer to go with the latter, but that's just me. He's been in the league for a long time. He's been in the league for, it seems like ages, ever since 2010. Max Fried has been placed on the 15-day injured list with a hamstring injury, which is bad for a pitcher. James McCann opened the season on the 10-day injured list with a left oblique strain. He took live batting practice and running the bases yesterday. Orioles manager Brandon Hyde said he is getting closer to coming back. Garrett Whitlock is getting closer to returning to the team. Meanwhile, James Paxton has a right hamstring strain. His expected return is late April or in May. I almost forgot to mention that Whitlock is coming off of right hip surgery, so it's probably going to take a long time for him to come back. But he's hoping to be back this April. Seiya Suzuki has a left oblique strain. Man, there's a lot of oblique strains going on. He is currently on a rehab assignment. He is expected to return to the Cubs at some point this month. There are no injuries for the White Sox as of right now. Jose Barrero left the game yesterday as a precaution with right hamstring tightness. There are no injuries for the Guardians right now either. For the Rockies, Daniel Bard had a bullpen session and threw 96 miles an hour. He is still working on mechanical issues and location. Randall Grichuk is also expected to make his return later on this month. He had bilateral sports hernia surgery. Grichuk is hitting, fielding, and running without any issue. Michael Lorenzen is recovering from a left groin strain. He threw live batting practice yesterday without incident, which cleared a path for him to begin a rehab assignment. Michael Brantley is on a rehab assignment and could return to the Astros lineup before the end of April. There is currently no new updates on Jose Altuve. I'll get you those when I have them. Jared Walsh opened the season on the injured list after he dealt with headaches and insomnia late in spring training. He is doing better and could possibly be back in late April. Jared Walsh is a solid hitter, solid first baseman. The Angels need him for sure. Tony Gonsolin for the Los Angeles Dodgers threw a bullpen session on April 2nd and threw 40 pitches. He is expected to be back in late April. He rolled his left ankle while going through a drill on March 6th. Joey Wendle for the Marlins was scratched from the lineup yesterday with oblique soreness, and Johnny Cueto also had to leave the game with right biceps tightness. That could sideline him for a little bit. Luis Urias was placed on the 10-day injured list with a hamstring injury. He felt a pop in his hamstring halfway down to first base on opening day, and he's expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Max Kepler left the game in the fourth inning with right knee soreness. He apparently tried to leg out an infield single and came up awkwardly on his knee, which caused him to be pulled for a pinch runner. The only injury on the Mets is Justin Verlander. The Mets have not released the timetable for his return, but it's expected to be at least two starts. Harrison Bader took about 25 dry swings on April 3rd and felt great. He is expected to be back in late April or early May. He has a left oblique strain. Paul Blackburn is set for a rehab start. He threw 40 pitches in a side session yesterday. As of right now, there is no timetable for his return. Josh Harrison is day-to-day with a mild right ankle sprain. JT Brubaker was transferred to the 60-day injury list with right elbow discomfort. Joe Musgrove is expected to make a rehab start this week as he works his way back from a left big toe fracture, which he suffered in spring training after he dropped a kettlebell on his toe. That has got to hurt. I got to be honest. Ouch. Tyro Estrada fouled a ball off of his leg during his at-bat in the top of the ninth against the White Sox. He walked off under his own power, but he's going to be missing some time. If you want to know what it feels like to foul a ball off your leg, you know what Rex Hudler says? He says, just go into the garage and get a hammer and hit yourself in the knee with it. That should make you feel bad. Robbie Ray is on the 10-day injured list with a left flexor strain. That's pretty bad for pitchers, for those of you who do not know. Gabe Spire is taking his place on the roster. Lars Nootbaar is headed to the injured list with a left thumb contusion. He injured his thumb while sliding into third base. That could be an impact for how the bigger bases are going to impact the game. More injuries are going to come, I assume. Brandon Lau is back in the lineup for the Rays after he exited on Saturday with a toe contusion. He fouled a ball off his foot on Saturday. And once again, if you want to know what that feels like, you know the drill. Josh Smith for the Texas Rangers was hit in the face with a pitch and had to leave the game. He got hit in the face with an 88-mile-an-hour sinker, and sinkers are supposed to sink, right? Well, this one unfortunately stayed up, and it stayed up for too much, and whipped right in the face. That's got to hurt, and he'll be evaluated over the next few days. He went to a hospital in Texas, and he appears to be doing okay, but he's going to be evaluated just in case. Hyunjin Ryu is on the 15-day injured list. He is currently recovering from Tommy John surgery. He is targeting a mid-July return. And last but not least for the injuries, Corey Dickerson was placed on the injured list with left calf tightness. Here's how the new rules are going. The game is much shorter. The game is, on average, 2 hours and 38 minutes. I mean, that's a huge significance from what it was last year. The number of pitch timer violations, according to the MLB, 41 pitch timer violations this week, which is pretty interesting. Also, 10 stolen bases in the first two games for the Baltimore Orioles. The number of stolen bases per game is 1.4 for both teams. The success rate on stolen base attempts through 50 games, I say 50 because there was 50 played over the weekend, with 5 being played on Friday and 15 being played on Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. 85% success rate, I probably already said that. 2 home runs for Aaron Judge. That puts him on pace for roughly 107 round trippers. Now, I know he's not going to make that, but still, it would be pretty funny to see it. The Phillies, as of right now, are the only winless team in the entire MLB, which is pretty embarrassing if you ask me. 2.06 ERA was the Mets' ERA this year, this week, and that's pretty significant considering their losses in the bullpen. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up, I'll be talking about power rankings. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Inside the Diamond right here on UCM The Beat.
Did you know that it costs $0 to make someone smile? A simple act of kindness can go a long way. You may walk past tons of people a day, not even knowing their story. Someone could probably be having one of the worst days, but a simple compliment on their outfit or even helping them out with a small task can change a bad day to a good one. No matter what, always try to give your neighbor a reason to smile.
Tobacco use affects youths all across the United States. Millions of youth are at risk for disease and even death due to tobacco use. Talk to your kids about tobacco use and how it can affect their lungs. Help keep the future of this nation safe from tobacco-related illnesses.
According to a study by IBM, 95% of all cybersecurity breaches result from human error. That adds up to about $3.13 million of loss in 2020 alone, and accounts for acts like downloading infected files or software and storing weak passwords in easy-to-find places. When everything is online, you can't afford to not be. Protect yourself and others online. Learn more and how at CISA.gov.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. I help people solve difficult and trying personal problems every day on my TV show, but there's one problem that just got me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. That's 1 in 5 kids who may not know where their next meal is coming from, despite the fact that there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food out there to feed them all. Now, I don't know about you, but that is unacceptable to me. Luckily, the Feeding America network of good people is out there collecting surplus food and giving hope to hungry children and their families at local food banks all across the country. But let's face it, they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Blood drives are a significant event 4.5 million people need a transfusion each year. One out of seven people entering a hospital need blood, and only 37% of the United States population is eligible to donate blood. It only takes about an hour to save a life. Even one pint of blood can save up to three people's lives. So, if you want to help, please visit redcrossblood.org to set up an appointment today.
You are now turned into the dopest college radio station, UCM The Beat. Keep it locked. UCM The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's talk about power rankings now. And to be honest, guys, these ones from Fox Sports are pretty crap. Okay? You guys know me. I'm an honest guy, right? Well, I don't agree with some of these, and let's go through them together. And number 30 is the Oakland Athletics. And I gotta say, I agree with that. But hey, at least the opening day comeback was fun. You know? You got to savor every victory, Oakland, because you're probably not going to get that many this year. Number 29 is the Washington Nationals. I agree with that. They're just kind of weak. I mean, what exactly did they get out of the Max Scherzer and Juan Soto deals? That's what the Nationals had to figure out this year as they watch Keibert Ruiz, Josiah Gray, C.J. Abrams, and Mackenzie Gore develop. It was an encouraging first start for Gore, who's finally healthy and still just 24. At number 28 is the Detroit Tigers. I agree with that, but I think they need to be just a smidge higher just because they beat the reigning AL and World Series champs last night. The Tigers are charting a new path forward under President of Baseball Operations Scott Harris. Unfortunately, getting outscored by 18 runs this weekend in Tampa Bay was not the start that they wanted. At least they finally got a win yesterday, though. Number 27 is the Kansas City Royals, and I got to say, as a Royals fan, I agree with this. But they finally got the offense going. Their bullpen has been solid for the most part, you know. And number 26 is the Colorado Rockies. It's hard to see the long-term plan here, but Chris Bryant, CJ Krohn, Charlie Blackman, and company should keep games competitive in the short term. Maybe top prospect Ezekiel Tovar takes advantage of his opportunity. Here's the big shocker. Number 25 is the Cincinnati Reds. I am going to put them a little bit higher, actually, to be honest with you. They're a little bit too low. This year is all about development in Cincinnati, and Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, and Graham Ashcraft provide frontline upside. You know, but unfortunately, the Reds aren't going to go anywhere this year, I don't think. The Pittsburgh Pirates are at number 24, and honestly, after beating the Red Sox last night, they need to be higher. They need to be one higher against the Miami Marlins, who are at number 23, and the Pablo Lopez and Luis Arraez trade couldn't have started off better for either side. The Marlins desperately needed someone to jumpstart their offense, and Arraez was 9-for-16 against the Mets. Unfortunately, not everyone in the Marlins lineup is Luis Arraez. The Arizona Diamondbacks are at number 22, and I gotta agree with that one. I'm leaving them right there. The San Francisco Giants, I cannot speak today apparently. The San Francisco Giants are at number 21. This would look a lot more promising with an Aaron Judge or Carlos Correa signing. Starting the year with Mitch Haniger on the injured list really hurts them, but the complimentary veteran pieces added could keep them in the mix. At number 20 is the Baltimore Orioles. After beating an undefeated Rangers team last night, they need to be a little bit higher. It'd be easy to project them as contenders had they had some impact offseason additions to supplement their young core. Still, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, and Cedric Mullins will make this young team one to watch in 2023, for sure. The Chicago Cubs are at number 19, and I don't really understand that, to be honest. The Cubs are just, they're so overrated, I swear. Just because you have Cody Bellinger and Eric Hosmer, Dansby Swanson, who, by the way, is 10 for 17 in his first four games, does not mean, it does not mean that you're automatically a good team. You have to have pitching and hitting all at the same time, and fielding, I forgot to mention that. At number 18 is the Boston Red Sox. No, they need to be lower because the Pittsburgh Pirates beat them last night. When you lose to the Pittsburgh Pirates, you do not belong in the top 15. Heck, you don't even belong in the top 20. At number 17 is the Chicago White Sox. After splitting a series with the Astros, I was very impressed with them over the weekend. You know, they're still a fine young team, but they still got a long way to go. At number 16 is the Los Angeles Angels. And honestly, after their 13-1 shellacking of the Mariners, excuse me, for the Oakland Athletics, I'm gonna have to disagree with this one. I'll put them a little bit higher, but not that much. At number 15 is the Milwaukee Brewers, and they got back into the win column yesterday with a 10-0 win against the Giants, but they're still missing some pieces. They got rid of Colton Wong in the offseason, which really hurts them. Lorenzo Cain's about to retire. Thank God for that. At number 14 is the Texas Rangers. They need to be higher, okay? If you beat the reigning NL champs at home and you score a combined 29 runs in three games, you need to be higher in the power rankings. I don't really understand this, to be honest. Fox Sports, what are you doing? Come on. The Mariners are at number 13, and they need to be lower off the bat. They lost a series to the Cleveland Guardians, and they lost yesterday to the Los Angeles Angels, so I think they need to be lower, significantly lower. Well, actually, maybe they're in the top 20 for sure, but I'd switch them with the White Sox and the I'd switch around the White Sox and the Mariners. And number 12 is the Philadelphia Phillies. No. Absolutely not. Just stop right there, okay? Just stop. The Phillies do not belong in the top 10. They don't even belong in the top 20. They got swept by the Texas Rangers, and they lost to the New York Yankees yesterday. They are 0-4 on the season. They're the only team without a win. It's embarrassing. I'd honestly be embarrassed to be a Phillies fan right now. At number 11 is the Cleveland Guardians. I gotta agree with that one. And number 10 is the Minnesota Twins. I think I'm gonna put them a little bit higher. I'm gonna put them at number 9. The Blue Jays, I'm gonna put at number 10, but hey, I'm not the writer. The Blue Jays are at number 9, like I said before, and they need to be lower. I mean, well, you know. At number 7 is the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Rays look good. Okay, Wander Franco looks good. He hit a home run this weekend, which was absolutely outstanding. And number 4 is the new, excuse me, number 6. We're on number 6. Apparently, I don't know how to count either. And number 6 is the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers have impressed me so far this season. They gave up Cody Bellinger. They gave up Trey Turner. They gave up Justin Turner. And they still find a way to win games. How? To be fair, they have Freddie Freeman. They have some very good players like Mookie Betts is still on the team. Freddie Freeman's still on the team. Clayton Kershaw's going to be back for another season. And I'm impressed with them so far, yeah. And number 5 is the San Diego Padres. I'm disappointed in the Padres right now. You lost the first two games to the Rockies. The Rockies of all teams. I mean, come on. How in the world does that happen? That was pathetic. That was a pathetic attempt. Even I can beat the Rockies, and I don't even play baseball. That's how pathetic the Rockies are. At number four is the New York Mets, and after winning a series against the Marlins, which, congratulations. You won a series against the Marlins. What do you want, a gold medal? Even I could do that. The New York Yankees are number three, and they looked sharp, to be honest. You know, Aaron Judge still looks good. Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo. Stanton hit the ball hard, but he's just getting into some bad luck. And number two is the Atlanta Braves, who won yesterday against the Cardinals, like I said. And they even almost swept the Nationals. But if you lose to the Nationals, in my opinion, you belong at number three. And finally, number one, rounding it out, is the Houston Astros. How in the world are they number one? They don't even deserve to be number one. They split a series against the White Sox. You have to win a series. I expect a win from every single series from the Astros, and they split a four-game series. I'd be embarrassed. Let's talk about the teams who have impressed me so far. Minnesota Twins, I did not expect them to do much this year. Joey Gallo, they even released Gary Sanchez, you know, which was not exactly the best idea, in my opinion. But hey, I'm not the general manager. They signed Joey Gallo, who strikes out quite a bit. And he's actually proven to be a stud so far this year. The next team is the Texas Rangers. I did not expect the Rangers to do anything this year. I expected them to suck, to be honest. You know, they have some good pieces. They have Marcus Semien. They have Corey Seager, brother of Kyle Seager, for those of you who are not aware. The Cleveland Guardians are the next team that impressed me. And I got to say, they impressed me on offense, but the pitching, it needs work. All right. The pitching needs work, and it's not even close. The Pittsburgh Pirates have really surprised me with how they are still in games. The Cincinnati Reds are also surprising me because they beat the Cubs yesterday, and the Cubs are a semi-good team. The Dodgers are impressing me so far, and the Baltimore Orioles are also impressing me. Here are the teams that have disappointed me so far. Number one, Blue Jays. Come on. I mean, you lose a series to the St. Louis Cardinals, who don't have Yadier Molina or Albert Pujols anymore. Then you proceed to blow. Well, you didn't blow it. You absolutely imploded against the Kansas City Royals. The Houston Astros are another team that have disappointed me so far. And I say that because it's not their offense that's the problem. It's the pitching. You know, they're just leaving too many pitches over the middle of the plate. And you cannot make mistakes to major league hitters. The Philadelphia Phillies, you embarrass me, okay? You completely embarrass me. What was that against the Rangers? That was pathetic. The Phillies don't belong in the power rankings, like I said. They don't belong to be that high. The Kansas City Royals are the next team that's disappointing me. And it's not the pitching, guys. It's the offense. Now, they finally got it going yesterday, but here's the thing. They were held scoreless for the first 20 innings of the season. For the first 20 innings. Your offense is not all that good, but they got it going. That's all that matters. And finally, the Detroit Tigers are disappointing me so far. They're a young team, I know, but they still got a long way to go. All right, guys, that's it for Power Rankings. Coming up, I'll be talking about how the Royals did this weekend, and plus, I'll give my opinion so far on the Royals this season, which players have impressed me, which players have disappointed me, so on and so forth. That's all coming up. You're listening to Inside the Diamond right here on UCM The Beat.
In 2020, men died by suicide 3.88 times more than women. That number is way too high. That's why the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is available to all men. Call 988 if you are struggling. You're not alone. There is help.
1 in 9 people worldwide go to bed hungry each night. That's why UCM students and faculty are encouraged to visit the UCM campus cupboard. Campus Covered is a volunteer-based charity dedicated to alleviating hunger and financial burdens in the UCM community. Any UCM faculty, staff member, or student who presents a valid ID may select 10 items per week from Campus Covered. Campus Covered is located in the lower level of the UCM Student Rec and Wellness Center and is open Tuesday through Thursday from 3 to 5:30 p.m.
UCM The Beat, the one and only radio station of the University of Central Missouri.
Hey guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's talk about the Royals this weekend. And to be honest, they disappointed me. They got shut out on opening day 2-0, like I said earlier, and then they proceeded to lose again to the Minnesota Twins 2-0 again. So far in the first two games, the Royals held scoreless through the first 18 innings. And Bobby Witt Jr. and N.J. Melendez were held without a hit for the first two games. Salvi got a day off on yesterday. Yesterday was Monday, so I'm worked. Come on. Salvador Perez is hitting .375 so far this season. That's not a bad batting average. Vinny Pasquantino got a hit. Kyle Isbell is on fire right now. And Nate Eaton just flat out sucks. He is 0-for-7 in this season with 4 strikeouts. I'll get to that in just a little bit. And I'm embarrassed for Aroldis Chapman pitched in that game. Jordan Lyles also did. Ryan Yarbrough got 1 2/3. Taylor Clark got an inning. Chapman got an inning. Now, the Royals have done a pretty decent job of not walking guys this year, you know? Their problem is walking people. They walk too many. But on Saturday, they only walked 2, and they struck out 8, courtesy of Aroldis Chapman throwing 100 miles an hour. And, you know, Chapman throws the hardest he threw on Saturday. Get the days right. Come on. The hardest he threw was 103 miles an hour. However, he also got a pitch clock violation, which, like I said, however, things started to turn around for the Royals as they were able to score finally in the bottom of the second inning against Joe Ryan, who has absolutely one of the nastiest sliders I think I've ever seen. The thing moves so much that it's in the other batter's box by the time it gets to the plate. Joey Gallo hit 2 home runs in that game, a 3-run homer in the top of the 7th, which pretty much sealed the deal for the Royals, and a solo home run in the top of the 6th against Amir Garrett. And this is where the Royals bullpen really started to show their weakness, I guess you could say, with allowing too many runs. They allowed 5 walks and 9 strikeouts. Brent Keller was the reason they walked 5. He walked 4 batters. When you walk 4 batters, you don't really have control that day, and you need control in order to win in the MLB. But yesterday, they got to their winning ways by beating the Blue Jays 9-5. So let's talk about what happened in this game. First inning, 1-2-3 for Brady Singer. MJ Melendez leads off the inning with a double in the bottom of the first. Bobby Witt Jr. then singles him in. Michael Massey singled to right, and then Bobby Witt Jr. moved up to third. Isbell singled to center. Bobby Witt Jr. scored, and then Michael Massey went to third. Hunter Dozier grounded out, and that scored Michael Massey from third. And then Jackie Bradley Jr. ended the inning with a ground out to second base. Dalton Varsho struck out swinging in the top of the second to begin it. Alejandro Kirk walked. Then Brandon Belt lined out to right fielder and Nate Eaton. And then Matt Chapman doubled to right, and it was a hard hit ball. He just missed it, you know. And, you know, fielders are going to make mistakes one day or another. I'm not going to hold it against him too much. Then he struck out Kevin Biggio. Bottom of the second, nothing happens. Royals go 1-2-3. Top of the third, Blue Jays go 1-2-3. Bottom of the third, Vinny Pasquantino flies out to left. Right. Bobby Witt Jr. walks. Bobby Witt Jr. then steals second base. Michael Massey was called out on strikes. And Kyle Isbell flied out to center field to end the inning. Blue Jays go 1-2-3 again. And after the Royals got a leadoff single from Hunter Dozier in the bottom of the fourth, and guys, let's be honest, Hunter Dozier is so overrated, it's not even funny. He sucks. Jackie Bradley Jr. then got his first hit as a Royal. Nicky Lopez hit an RBI triple. Nadine was called out on strikes. Melendez struck out swinging. And then Vinny Pasquantino doubled down the right field line and scored Nicky Lopez from third base, making it 6-0 Royals. Finally, Bobby Witt Jr. singled on a ground ball, and Vinny Pasquantino scored, and Bobby was thrown out at third base trying to advance on an error, which unfortunately did not work. Brandon Belt then walked. Matt Chapman doubled. Kevin Biggio walked. So the Blue Jays have the bases loaded with nobody out in the bottom of the top of the fifth. What am I saying? Come on. Kevin Kiermaier grounds into a double play, and then George Springer grounds out to Brady Singer, and Brady Singer had a ball go off his hand, and that was that for him. Michael Massey grounded out. Royals go 1-2-3 in the bottom of the fifth. Top of the sixth, Ryan Yarbrough comes in to pitch for Brady Singer. Bo Bichette lined out to left. Vlad Jr. got a single to left. Dalton Varsho walked. Nicky Lopez caught a liner from Alejandro Kirk. Vlad Jr. stole third base. Yes, Vlad Jr. can steal third base. I did not even know that was possible, because that dude is so slow. Brandon Belt struck out to end the inning. Jackie Bradley Jr. flied out. Nicky Lopez walked. Nadine struck out. No surprise there. Then they brought in MJ. Then they brought in Zach Pop to face MJ Melendez, and he proceeds to hit it into the fountains at Kauffman Stadium. For those of you who do not know, the distance on that home run was 443 feet. That's pretty impressive. Top of the seventh, it starts to get a little bit closer. Matt Chapman struck out to begin the inning. And then Kevin Biggio, Kevin Kiermaier, and George Springer all singled. George Springer singled in Kevin Biggio. Bo Bichette singled to right field. And then Jose Quas came in to face Vlad Jr. Vlad Jr. walked. And then Quas got out of the inning with two straight fly balls. One was a pop out on the infield fly rule, and the other was a line out to center. Nothing happens in the bottom of the seventh for the Royals. Wild pitch by Dylan Coleman scores Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman once again walked. Kevin Biggio singled to right, and then Kevin Kiermaier struck out. Brandon Belt struck out to begin that inning, and Dylan Coleman proved once again why I don't really think he belongs on the major league roster right now until he can learn control. George Springer popped out to end the inning, and that was that. Bo Bichette hit a home run at the top of the ninth to try to come back, but the Blue Jays just couldn't get anything going after that, and the game is over. Alejandro Kirk got an infield single as well. We got the Royals lineup for you tonight, but I'll talk about that in the next segment. The players who have impressed me so far this year, Aroldis Chapman for sure. I did not know he's still at 103 miles an hour in the tank. Heck, I didn't even know he had 100 left in the tank. But he does. It's pretty impressive. Dylan Coleman, you disappoint me so far this year. It's like a Star Wars reference. Master Coleman, you disappoint me. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this segment. Coming up, I'll be talking about the games coming up this weekend and the series coming up this weekend, who I believe will come out on top, why I think they will win, and plus, I'll give you the Royals lineup for tonight. Stay tuned. You're listening to Inside the Diamond on UCM The Beat.
Did you know that millions of animals are either abused or abandoned every year in the United States? Donate to your local animal shelter today. And if you have room in your home, why not adopt a furry little friend to add to your family? Be a part of the change. Be a part of saving a helpless animal's life.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey America, we need to have a little talk. I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a lot of food in this country. A lot of peaches, a lot of corn, a lot of apples, a lot of everything. We've got so much food that we can't even eat it all. So if we got all this extra food, how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? I just don't get it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to the hungry kids who need it. They can get you food even if you live in Idaho or Alaska or somewhere crazy like that. This isn't complicated. We got extra food and we got hungry kids. Feeding America's done the math. Now it's your turn. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. I know you got internet on your phone, so what are you waiting for? We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
3, 2, 1. It's been a long time in the making, but it's finally here.
UCM the beat.
Hey guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's talk about the series coming up this week. But first, I'll go over the standings with you guys really quick. In the AL Central, Minnesota's in first place, 4-0. Cleveland Guardians are at second place at 4-1. White Sox are in third place at 2-3. And the Tigers and the Royals are tied for fourth at 1-3. The Rays are 4-0. The Yankees are 3-1. The Orioles are 2-2. And the Boston Red Sox are 2-2 as well. The Toronto Blue Jays are in last place at 1-3 after winning their first game of the season. They're on a bit of a cold streak, to be honest. That is in the AL East. In the AL West, the Angels are in first place. The Rangers are in second. The Astros are in third, surprisingly. The Oakland Athletics are in fourth. And last but not least, the Seattle Mariners are in last place at 1-4. The Mariners have disappointed me so far this year. The NL East is next. The Atlanta Braves are in first place at 3-1. The New York Mets are in second place at 3-2. The Nationals are in third place at 1-3. The Marlins are in fourth place at 1-4. And finally, rounding it out is the Phillies at 0-4. The Cincinnati Reds are in first place in the NL Central, which is a shocker. The Milwaukee Brewers are in second place in the NL Central, which is also a shocker. The Pirates are in third place. The Cardinals are in fourth. And finally, rounding it out, the Chicago Cubs are in last. To nobody's surprise, because the Cubs suck. The Los Angeles Dodgers are in first place. The San Diego Padres are in second place. San Francisco is in third. Arizona's in fourth, and finally rounding it out is the Colorado Rockies at last place. Let's go over the series for this week. This week, the Royals take on the Toronto Blue Jays. They take them on tomorrow. The pitching matchup is Alek Manoah and Zach Greinke, and sadly, I'm going with the Blue Jays tomorrow. Zach Greinke, yes, he's good, but Alek Manoah is just way better. Didn't look like it in his first start, which was not exactly the best. Tonight, it's Yusei Kikuchi against Chris Bubich, and I'm taking the Royals on this one. Their offense is on fire right now, you know. The Cubs and the Reds face each other for another two games. And then the Reds get the Phillies. And I'm going with the Cincinnati Reds tonight as well. But I'm going with the Chicago Cubs tomorrow. The Cubs have Marcus Stroman on the mound against Hunter Green. And yes, Hunter Green is good. He threw 105 miles an hour in his first start. However, Marcus Stroman is just a better pitcher, in my opinion. The Twins have the Marlins for another game, for another two games, and then they get the Houston Astros at home. And I'm taking the Astros in that series against the Minnesota Twins. I'm taking the Twins in the Marlins series, however. The Braves get the Cardinals for two more games, and then they move on. I'm taking the Cardinals tonight, and then I am taking the Braves tomorrow. The Cardinals have Steven Matz going tonight and a rookie left-hander for the Atlanta Braves. Rookies are always amped up on their major league debuts, so I'm not really confident. The Tigers are facing the Astros tonight. I'm taking the Astros. Framber Valdez is just one of the best pitchers out there. Cleveland Guardians and the Athletics, I'm going with the Cleveland Guardians. Angels and Mariners tonight, I'm going to go with the Mariners. And finally, rounding out the games today is the Dodgers and the Rockies. I'm taking the Dodgers in this one. Now, I'm not going to do score predictions because scores are very hard to predict. I almost forgot. The Pirates and the Red Sox today. I am going to take the Boston Red Sox in this game. I think they're going to be looking for a little bit of revenge after what happened to them yesterday. And fellas, this weekend, the Royals get the San Francisco Giants in a three-game series at Oracle Park. And it should be a good series. You know, the Giants are still a good team, even though they're without Aaron Judge, Carlos Correa. They're without their huge veteran guys. They're without Mitch Haniger for a little bit. But, you know, it should be an interesting one. I'm going to take the Royals winning that series because, like I said, their offense is on fire. And Royals fans, we have a batting order for you, so please, wherever you are, get on your feet and make some noise. It's time for the Royals starting lineup tonight. Leading off, the shortstop, number 7, Bobby Witt Jr. Batting second, the left fielder, number 14, Edward Olivares. Batting third, the catcher, number 13, Salvador Perez. Batting fourth, the designated hitter, number 99, Franmil Reyes. Batting fifth, the third baseman, Matt Duffy. Batting sixth, the first baseman, Hunter Dozier. Batting seventh, the center fielder, Jackie Bradley Jr. Batting eighth, the right fielder, Nate Eaton. And batting ninth is Nicky Lopez at second base. And pitching for the Kansas City Royals is Chris Bubich. Mac Quatrero, I have a question for you. A very real question. Why is Nate Eaton still on a major league roster? He is 0 for 10 so far this year. He is 0 for 7 so far this year with 4 strikeouts. Those 4 strikeouts came yesterday. He had a golden sombrero. That's embarrassing for a hitter. I don't understand why he put the lineup that way, but the Royals are facing a lefty tonight, Yusei Kikuchi, from Japan, and he's a pretty good pitcher. He was pretty good with the Mariners. Then on Thursday, the Royals get Kevin Gausman, and the Blue Jays are going to be facing Jordan Lyles, who did pretty good for his first start. 5 1/3, 1 run, And, yeah. All right, guys, that's going to do it for our time today. And coming up next week, I'll be talking about these games, do more power rankings, and much, much more. Thank you for joining me. Have a great week, everyone. And as always, remember, let's go Royals!